FourFingerLakes1.com. I'm Josh Durso, and this is Inside the FLX. Welcome to episode 191. A few weeks ago, we brought you a conversation with Mark Benjamin, the Republican candidate for Lodi Town Supervisor. And this week, we are bringing a one-on-one with Kyle Barnhart, who will appear atop the ticket in Lodi. He was endorsed by Democrats in the race, even though he is not a registered Democrat himself. Barnhart currently serves as village mayor, and if elected in November, will lead the town's government come January 1st. In our conversation, he discussed his ideas for change, some of the successes he's seen in the village over the last several years, and how talking with residents has been a driver of his overall campaign. What's clear to see through our conversation is that Barnhart represents something different in local politics. While not officially affiliated with Democrat or Republican parties, he sees himself as a unifier. He's young, energetic, and recently started a family in Lodi. That's unusual as much as it is good for a rural community like Lodi or Seneca County. Before we get to that conversation, though, a reminder to our listeners. Inside the FLX is available on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Subscribe there or find the podcast on any platform by visiting InsideTheFLX.com. While you're there, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps new listeners find the show and lets us know that you enjoy long-form conversations like this one right here on Inside the FLX. Without further ado, my conversation with Mayor Kyle Barnhart.
My parents ultimately brought me up from, I was born in Houston, spent 10 years there. My parents were raised in New York. We moved to Syracuse in 94 and then drifted down to Watkins Glen in 96. And then I've sort of stayed in the area since then, though I've traveled and worked in Manhattan and Miami and a lot of different places since
then. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Really interesting background. Yeah. So let's start there. Great. You are now running for town supervisor. A little bit of a journey, like you just mentioned.
Sure. Yeah, I felt pretty compelled to action. I've been really involved in the local level. I was on the board of trustees since 2017. I won my second election just earlier this year for village mayor. But I felt compelled to action after we saw the results of the Republican primary in Lodi. I've been working with the current supervisor, Lee Davidson, on a number of infrastructure issues and intermunicipal issues. We've been working to get a public water system going. So when I saw that Lee had lost the Republican primary, the community sort of rallied around and said, "Hey, we'd really like for you to run. We want to see you do more of what you've been doing at the village level." So I've been an independent mayor, an independent party candidate for a few years now, and the Democrats nominated me in the Democratic caucus, which is the day after the Republican primary. So I felt pretty called to action.
When you look at your experience as a whole, what are the qualities that you feel you bring to the table that maybe just aren't represented that much, not only at the town level, but then the county level, of course, because you're going to be there, you would be serving there as well?
Yeah. For me, it's all about engagement. I've said this so many times on the campaign trail, and it's a little silly, but I love the work. I was a political science student in college. I've always been involved in public service in some sense. I lived down in Hector, which is down in Schuyler County, and was involved in the Seneca Lake Scenic Byway as a committee member. I've just always been involved and just really love doing the nitty-gritty work. And I love talking to people and solving problems. So I think they were happy to see a younger person get involved at the village level, and I'm hearing a lot of that as I travel around the town.
And I'm glad you brought that up. If you're watching us on YouTube, which some of you probably are right now, you are thinking to yourself, this does not look like the candidate I am used to seeing on this program or in rural politics in general. Why? How? Those are probably the two big ones that some folks are probably thinking right now. What makes you want to be engaged in a community like Lodi, a village of just a few hundred, and a town that is so far away from most of the places where folks in their 20s, 30s, 40s are calling home?
I've lived a lot of places. I grew up in Houston, Texas. I lived in Syracuse and Albany and Miami and Manhattan. But something keeps drawing me back to the Finger Lakes. So my fiance and I bought a house in Lodi about 3 years ago. And what I love about it is such a small town. I mean, the village is five blocks, basically. There's a few extensions there, but it's a small town, and it's one of those places where everybody knows everybody, and it was pretty easy to get involved. When you're the new kid on the block or the new family on the block, they were pretty welcoming, and you can identify where the needs are and sort of what's lacking in the village and what's going right. So again, I felt really compelled to get involved, and I could see that Lodi was a community that had sort of been left behind over the years, and I thought that my energy and my passion for not so much politics but for government would be a good complement to what's going on in Lodi. So it sort of hit the ground running, and my dad always called me a persistent child, so I'm the kind of person that just really stays on whatever the issue is that we need to get done, you know.
It is, at any point, has it been sort of remarkable in that how quickly and how much you can affect change in such a short amount of time in these small communities that don't have a lot of active components in them, really, on the day-to-day?
Yeah, the little things make a big difference. You know, something as small as new street signs makes people feel sort of special and like their community is active. We did just get new street signs this year in Lodi, and a couple constituents hanging out on the corner just staring at the street sign saying, "Oh, this feels like Cape Cod," you know, and that felt kind of cool that something good is happening here. On the adverse, when you mess up, everybody knows about it and everybody hears about it pretty quickly. Luckily, I haven't messed up too bad just yet. But yeah, small little things make a big impact. For me, mostly, trying to work with homeowners on the main street and around the village to make best use of their properties and sort of bring back a vibrant commercial district in Lodi. So that's sort of what I've been working on lately.
And when you talk about the village, obviously there would be a bit of a transition for you personally if you're elected town supervisor. You said you won't stay on as village mayor. But that downtown corridor is obviously pretty important across the board. What are some of the things that you've thought about or you've executed or that you sort of look forward at and say, these are the things that we can do to really strengthen this thing that we have that, you know, a lot of communities would love to have is a vibrant downtown? How do you reinvigorate that, or how have you reinvigorated that?
So we've gotten started on a very small level. What's difficult about the village of Lodi, I think it's the ninth smallest village in the state. So we're working with a very small amount of a tax base. So change can't happen overnight, and it takes a long time to figure out how to address some of these issues. It's difficult to get grants. We don't have the matching funding because our budget is so small. So, you know, starting out with things that are small like street signs just to start to improve the aesthetic of the village. Now we're working on balancing the budget, really. There's a little bit of a budget deficit, and I think it took a discerning eye to sort of address where we can trim some of the fat. One of the things that we're doing now is upgrading from the old Cobra Head street lights to the LED street lights, and that is going to make a huge difference. We're in the process right now, so we haven't seen the savings yet, but thousands of dollars of savings and energy improvements, which would allow us to take that money and put it back into the village and improve that downtown corridor, or do that matching grant or whatever it might require. So right now it's really tough to get progress going. Another thing we've been working on in the village is working with the Finger Lakes Land Bank. We have the highest rate of vacancy in the county for municipalities. We have more houses that are abandoned or not occupied than anywhere else. So I've been working with the planner's office at Seneca County and the Finger Lakes Land Bank, which helped to take over these zombie properties and turn them into occupied properties once again. So it's very slow moving. That's a state-funded grant, and it takes months and years to sort of get these things going. But that's another sort of issue that we've been trying to address and bring back that vibrancy that Lodi saw 30, 40, 50 years ago.
Obviously, working with the different components that are involved, county, village, town, if you're the town supervisor, the village is as important as the county is. How do you propose balancing all of those different components so that the town's needs are ultimately met, but that it's also fitting into what the county is trying to do while the village is continuing, presumably, on the path that you've set it out on thus far?
Yeah, it seems like all these pieces don't quite fit, or that there's resistance against each other. But in my campaigning throughout the town, I've been pretty surprised at how much the townsfolk are interested in a vibrant village. When we talk about public water, I have a couple of constituents who live out in the country who wouldn't be serviced by public water and wouldn't have to pay for the debt service associated with public water, but for some reason they still think that they're going to be paying for it. So, you know, there's some sort of fundamental hurdles to address there to make sure people know where tax dollars are being spent and how water and sewer districts work. What I find interesting are those townsfolk who say, we need public water, not necessarily at my house down the lake or my house up on the hillside, but in the village. I think those folks want a vibrant community as well, even just a coffee shop to hang out at in the morning or a wine shop to shop at night. And I think the county actually has a little bit of interest. When I talk about the Village of Lodi with county supervisors and other town supervisors, you know, there's a pretty hefty tourism element that happens down in the south end of the county. The Seneca Lake Wine Trail brings over 1 million visitors per year, and Lodi is sort of at the crossroads between the Seneca Lake Wine Trail and the Cuca Lake Wine Trail. So I think they recognize that tourism is just about as good as a factory or many factories. So if we can continue improving that and get a little help from the county or the IDA or whoever it may be that wants to help out in the south end of the county, I think you'll see a lot of additional tax revenue and just ultimately a healthier place for Seneca County.
How do you, when you're having that conversation with folks, how do you break through the noise or the stereotype or preconceived notion, I suppose, that if you're a village or if you're a town or if you're the county, one success can really only happen at the expense of one of the other two things in that conversation? Because it seems like when you are talking about a rural community at large like Seneca County, that seems to be the thinking, that if this town wins, this town must lose, and if this village wins, it must come at the expense of this. How do you sort of break through that part of it when you're having those conversations, those one-on-ones that you're talking about?
That's really interesting. I've seen a little bit of that, but being in the south end of the county, I don't think I'm the only municipal official down there that feels a little left behind with what Seneca County has been working on. I don't want to speak for any of the other municipal officials, but the South County feels a little neglected over the years. We're facing that right now with the proposed sewer consolidation plan, which has now evolved into just really getting back, starting from scratch. So I don't know if I've seen all of that yet. The town supervisors and the village mayors that I've worked with are really pleasant. We're not adversaries. It makes me feel like a little bit more of a consensus builder. It's really easy to get along with the mayor of Ovid and the mayor of Interlaken, and you know, even those who I might not share the same political ideals, like the Varick town supervisor, Bob Heisen, we get along very, very well. So I haven't seen so much of that tit for tat or adversarial nature here. Even at the Board of Supervisors, when I speak in front of them about the sewer plans, there seems to be a pretty good response, and I tend to get my phone calls returned, and I haven't been at odds with anybody just yet. So I find it a little bit easier to work with people than it may seem.
And, you know, you just went into a little bit of some of the dynamic there between the north and south of Seneca County. How would you propose bridging that gap? Some folks who've watched the Board of Supervisors operate for the last 10, 15, 20 years probably thinking to themselves it's going to take a little more than a consensus builder to break through that. It's almost as if there is a dividing line in the southern end of Fayette, and that is pretty much how it's gone. How would you propose breaking through that and bridging the gap?
That's a good question. I'm gonna lead off by saying a little bit of trial and error. You know, I haven't been involved in Seneca County politics for very long, so I'm not sure what works best with each supervisor or at the county level. I think that we need to work together a little bit more on the south end of the county. Maybe the county board of supervisors or the Seneca County itself isn't the end-all be-all solution. Maybe we need to take a little bit of responsibility for ourselves. As part of this sewer consolidation issue, we've been talking to the town and the village of Ovid about just doing our own sewer plant instead of connecting into the county system, which of course the county wants an entire county-wide system, but maybe it's time that we take a little bit more of the accountability on our own and run our own system so that we don't have to be dictated to by a different entity that might not share the interests of the South County. So that's just one element. And again, public water, that sort of drives the conversation too. There is a county water system, but that doesn't connect to Ovid's system. And perhaps that's where we'll end up pulling water from for our municipal system. Or maybe we'll build our own, or maybe we'll connect to another municipality south or east of us. But I think that that's the first start. I think if we have our own systems, that'll be helpful. And it sort of takes that off of the plate of the county board of supervisors. And maybe they don't have to think about that so much.
When you look at, when you're wearing your mayoral hat and you're running through this campaign now for town supervisor, what do you, when you look forward, what does the future of a village like Lodi look like? Especially since before we came on, we were talking a little bit about how dissolution, that word always comes up. What do villages like Lodi look like 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now? If they continue on the trend that they are now.
So I grew up just south of Lodi in the town of Hector. And there's no incorporated village in North Hector, so to speak. They have Burdett down at the southern end of the town. But when I went to high school in the late 90s, I watched Hector develop over the next 20 years, thanks to municipal water and thanks to good policies that promoted tourism and promoted business. With a village center that is both the crossroads of the Seneca Lake Wine Trail and the Cougar Lake Wine Trail, Lodi has a really unique opportunity to be something very, very special, sort of a gem in the center of the Finger Lakes. With such a small footprint, like I said earlier, it's sort of easy to make a big impact there. So if we can just sort of promote good development in a block or two of Main Street, I think you see an incredibly vibrant little community. One of the things I keep hearing, people calling it a light switch when you get public water in terms of development. So I think those two blocks there right in the center of town could be host to things as simple as a coffee shop and a grocery store and a wine shop. And we've already seen a little bit of a community center with the building of a new library. So it's an incredibly easy place to have something really cool.
Do the population trends concern you at all? And that's speaking more broadly to the state and sort of how the counties have behaved. We haven't seen growth in a lot of counties other than Ontario and Tompkins. Census year next year, of course, big deal. That'll really bear itself out. But do the numbers at all, or at least the headlines and the trends that we've seen over the last 10 to 15 years, concern you at all? Either in that role moving forward or in your role now as mayor?
Yeah, in a sense it does. Like I mentioned, we have the highest vacancy rate. That's, simply put, we're losing more people than just about anybody else. Anecdotally, we're seeing more and more young folks move into the village of Lodi in particular. I've seen two or three new couples. Again, it's a very small town, so two or three new couples is a big deal. But we're seeing that happen. When houses come up for sale in Lodi, they sell quickly. So it is a desirable area. I work in the hospitality industry, and I see a lot of folks from Pennsylvania, Ohio, and downstate. And all I hear is how inexpensive it is to buy property up here and how much these folks from the city want to move out here and experience the sort of peace of mind and slowed down life that we experience. So, I'm not really concerned with the flight out of New York State, because we live in a very unique region that draws people here and has unbelievable natural beauty. So I wouldn't say I'm too concerned with it. On the other hand, working in the hospitality industry, we have a pretty significant labor crisis in this area. I'm seeing restaurants and wineries struggle every year, all the time, with hiring people. I think that there's a good opportunity for folks to work here. I think that there's a good opportunity for folks to live here, especially younger folks, because the barrier of entry is a little bit lower out here in the country. So while I'm a little bit concerned, I think on the smallest level in the village or in the town of Lodi, we have some good potential, some good promise.
Top three issues that either folks have raised to you or that you've just sort of brainstormed about and would like to tackle in those first couple of years?
Yeah, I've mentioned them. Public water, vacancy rate, and then on the village level, we're dealing with the sewer. So nothing new for us. The former proposed sewer consolidation plan was a really big issue for villagers. When you talk about debt service for public water, and then you talk about potentially financing sewer upgrades in a massive fashion, The comptroller's office only allows so much debt to be held by each property. I don't think those two things would have been able to happen simultaneously. So I'm happy to see that we've gone in a different direction with sewer consolidation. And then, as I mentioned, we were talking to the town of Ovid and the village of Ovid to do our own plant. So those are the issues that we're juggling to try to stay under the comptroller's level for debt service. But those are the issues. It's infrastructure, it's housing, and ultimately a vibrant Main Street, because that is both good for the village and the town. I mean, it's a bit of beating the same drum over and over again, but this is what I'm hearing from constituents. No exaggeration, 95% of the people I talk to in the village and in the town, water's the only thing we talk about.
It's interesting. From time to time, we hear high-speed broadband being another one of those infrastructure items that's a priority, that's a concern. But it seems to come in waves when we're hearing about it. What are you hearing on that front from the people who either live in Lodi or live around Lodi or even just in South Seneca in general? Is it up to snuff? Is it good enough? Could it use some work? Is it something that you think South Seneca residents might like to see a little bit of improvement on?
Sure, yeah. In the village, we have pretty good broadband. We're served by Spectrum. Customer service leaves a little something to be desired, but the speeds are there and they're generally pretty responsive. South of the village, on that 414 corridor where most of the wineries are, they've been running fiber optic cable. Spectrum hasn't, but Empire Telephone, I believe, or whatever they're called now. They've been running fiber, and wineries seem to be happy being served by that. You know, it's always going to be an issue out in the country, and infrastructure can certainly be an issue down on the lakeside. It's a little bit tougher to navigate down there. But as far as broadband's concerned, I think we're mostly in good shape. And then with the fiber being laid down on the corridor, that should be fairly easy to start expanding that out into the country.
New town hall. Yeah. That has been a big topic over the last year. Obviously, folks in the officials in Lodi, the town, have been working pretty hard over the last couple of years to try and figure out a game plan, where the funding might come from, how it might look. What is your take on that, and where do you see the town of Lodi under your leadership going if elected in November?
Yeah, so I have gotten a tour of that building. You know, I attend every town meeting there. I'm on the building committee for the new town hall. When I looked at the building, it's in a state of disrepair. There is no doubt at this point that a new building is the answer. Rehabbing or renovating the old building isn't in our best interest. It's about 100 years old. The materials used weren't top notch. And, you know, there are a couple inch gaps in that building that I hate to say it, but it comes up just about every month at the town meeting how dangerous it is to meet in that building. So a new town hall is important. The town's done a very good job under Supervisor Davidson in saving money and allocating money for a new town hall. They got some pieces of land. They acquired some pieces of land in a downtrodden part of the village. That made me excited as village mayor. I know a lot of constituents were very concerned that the town hall might be moving off of Main Street, but for the village, it's really nice to be able to develop other parts as well and bring activity to parts of the village that have been forgotten for years. Right now, the town is still doing a diligent job in terms of the design of the new town hall, and they're being very, very cautious into how much money that they are spending on it. They've done something very clever. They built the town barns, the Department of Public Works for Lodi. They built that building a few years ago, they ended the bond payments on that building a few years ago, and now they're carrying that over. Voters carried that over into a general fund to allow us to sort of have a pot of money to build a new town hall. So I think that they've been very financially reasonable, and I think they're doing a good job staying within a budget to build a new town hall.
And another one of the hot button issues over the last 6 to 12 months is obviously since the flood, the historic flood, that impacted Lodi Point, particularly the worst out of any of the communities in South Seneca. What have you seen thus far that makes you say, this is good, and what have been the things that you've seen that have made you say, all right, there's a little bit of improvement, we could do better here? I'm curious what your take is on what those two columns look like and what you would like to see next year moving forward.
Yeah, so I was out on the roads the day of the flood, and it was impossible to get around. It was it was unbelievable. I have been down at the lake so many times, not only as the village representative, but as an interested townsperson. I just walked through some of the creeks with the DEC. We've done that twice over the past 2 months or so. The state response to the flood, I thought, was excellent in terms of the state highways and transportation. But in terms of the streams and the waterways, we're still experiencing quite a bit of trouble. The DEC did some remediation after the flood, but I'm not sure that they did it correctly, and I'm not sure that they're willing to say that either. So we have a number of homeowners and that little community down on Lower Lake Road that is really at more risk since the flood. All I can say is I've been down there a ton. I've been talking to all the homeowners to figure out what their concerns are and how to address it. I found that the response from Seneca County Soil and Water has been outstanding. We're working on, I shouldn't say we, but the town is working on grant programs for bank stabilization for the streams. And if I'm elected town supervisor, I hope to really hammer down on that and continue doing that. There is a ton of work to do. There are still bridges that were out, that were washed away. We haven't seen the money from FEMA that we've been expecting to see. So there's just so much work to do, not enough money, and we've got to figure out how to do that. I'll go back to my dad calling me a persistent child, and that's exactly what I'd intend to do if elected. I will be on the state agencies as much as I can and the federal agencies to try to get that money coming in.
And, you know, I sort of want to end with this point, because I think it's interesting. You've hammered on it over the last 30 minutes. Lofty goals, and at the end of the day, not as many resources as are needed to make those lofty goals happen. So again, for maybe the taxpayer or the voter who may be a little concerned when they hear, you know, infrastructure, that their property taxes are all of a sudden going to skyrocket under your leadership. Sort of walk us through that part of it again, and how you see the plan coming together in those first 100 days, 200 days, if elected.
So I'm really sensitive to this, actually. Growing up down in Hector, when I was in high school, a lot of my friends lived lakeside. They had these very old cabins and homes down on the lake, and you know, we'd hang out down there and walk the creeks and walk the lake. And what I saw over the next 10 or 15 years was the taxes start to rise and the assessments start to rise, and all of my friends' parents were ultimately forced to sell those lake houses and move up into the hills or move out, maybe out of the state even. So I'm really sensitive to that. That's what we have to balance when we talk about municipal water projects or municipal sewer projects or anything that really brings the value of homes up. We don't want to force out the residents that have lived here, that their families have lived here for hundreds of years. We see a lot of that down in the south end of the county. So I'm extremely sensitive to the pace and to how much we improve and how we improve and how we work with taxpayers to do that. I don't want to see people moving out of the village that they've cared for decades. And if elected as town supervisor, I'll make sure that I'm very sensitive to those issues and don't force people out.
FingerLicksWine.com.